Well, if you've got a Bible, please have it open at Matthew chapter 13. So, what would you be willing to sacrifice in order to guarantee perfect happiness? What pain and suffering and hardship would you be willing to go through if you knew that at the end of it, what you got was perfect happiness and fulfillment, and that was 100% guaranteed? Just think about it for a moment. And if you were absolutely certain that what you were getting at the end was worth any amount of sacrifice and pain and difficulty, as you were going through that process, even though you found it hard, what would be your attitude to the journey that you were on? Would it be enthusiastic? Or would it be, oh, I can't really be bothered? This idea of perfect happiness is surely something which grabs our attention. But the idea of having to give things up, to sacrifice things in order to gain that perfect happiness, it can cause us to stop and reconsider, can't it? You know, we don't like the idea of difficulties in the here and now. But ultimately, for most people, or most people with a bit of go anyway, they're willing to put up with short-term hardship in order to get long-term gain. It's common sense, isn't it? It really is common sense. But there's always a condition. They have to be completely convinced that what they're going for is well worth it. They have to be convinced that the sacrifice is worth it. Consider an art expert, one of these people who goes out and goes around all these different antiques fairs, and they look at picture after picture after picture, and some of them are better than others. But then one day, he discovers a lost Rembrandt, and the owner doesn't really know what it is. What would he be willing to pay to give up in order to get that Rembrandt, which he knows is worth millions and millions of pounds? He'd be willing to even sell his house in order to get it, because he knows that at the end of it, what's going to come back is worth far more than anything he can ever give up. He knows that the short-term pain of giving everything up is well worth the long-term gain. Now, it's easy for us to understand this situation financially. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? We'll give up £100 today in order to get £20,000 tomorrow, wouldn't we? No problem, you know. But when it comes to spiritual things, why are we suddenly blind? Why do we suddenly not understand that what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is worth far more than anything else? And yet instead we just want to hang on to things. We don't comprehend the riches of spiritual things, the incredible offer of salvation, the benefits of being a Christian. Why is it like that? Well, this morning, if you're not a Christian, the Bible tells us that people who are not Christians, they're spiritually dead and they can't comprehend these things. But what about Christians? These people who have come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do they lack enthusiasm? Well, I think it's because of the world that we live in. We find ourselves in a spiritual battleground. And while I don't believe that you can lose your salvation, I know that Satan and the spiritual forces arrayed against us, they love to put Christians to sleep. To get Christians loving things in their here and now and focusing upon them, instead of thinking about eternal riches. So I think we find ourselves so often surrounded by Christians who have just gone to sleep. They're comfortable, everything is peaceful, and they're busy slumbering away. Both groups, Christian and non-Christian, they need shaking awake, don't they? They need waking up. And hopefully these parables that we're looking at this morning will help us to see the great value of our salvation and the benefits of accepting this salvation. And also they remind us about the consequences of rejecting it as well. So let's start off by thinking about our first parable, this parable of hidden treasure. And we all like the idea, don't we, of finding a pot of gold. Do we have any metal detecting enthusiasts here? Any? No one? No, no one's ever gone out there. But down on the south coast, you know, you see them every morning, they're out going along the beach, sweeping. And they find lots of bottle lids, and occasionally they find a penny or something like that. And I think they're just doing it to get out, really. But they're sort of motivated by this idea of finding a pot of gold. Now, I'm sure that you know that every so often, someone does find a pot of gold. We've seen a few things in the news recently, haven't we, where metal detector enthusiasts have uncovered treasures, usually pots filled with coin from Roman time, or sometimes stuff that's even older. And this sort of hoard that they're digging out from Roman times, from the time of Christ, is exactly the sort of hoard that the labourer in this parable discovers. This man is clearly a poor person because he's not working his own land. He's had to hire himself out to someone else. And he's there and he's busy digging and he finds a hoard of money. It was a rare thing, but not unlikely. We may moan about the banks today, but there weren't really any banks back then at all. The first banks came in during the Crusades, that sort of period. There were no banks, and there were uncertain times. What did you do when an army was on the horizon about to come in and steal everything from you? You buried it in the ground in a secret place. And what happened when that marauding army came and killed you and all your family? The treasure was lost. It remained in the ground. And that's the sort of situation we've got here. This labourer has uncovered a hidden treasure. A treasure that was lost a long time before. Now, while this was a rare event, it wasn't unknown. So the Jews, who would come up with all sorts of wonderful laws, had actually come up with one here. If the labourer bent down and picked it up, it became the property of the landowner. But if it remained in the ground, then it remained in the ground. So this labourer is actually acting in a very wise way. He's discovered this treasure. He knows if he picks it up, it goes to the landowner. So he covers it up. He runs off, he sells everything that he's got. And his neighbours must have thought he was balmy to sell everything just to get a bit of dusty land. But he knows that when he owns that land, the treasure becomes his and he's going to be really wealthy. At the time, people think that he's mad. But when he actually goes and purchases that land, uncovers the treasurer, well, the previous landowner would have been a bit bitter, wouldn't he? But his sacrifice, suddenly, everyone would see how it was more than worth it. He sacrifices everything, short-term pain, to get that long-term gain of financial security. The second parable is very similar, but it's the other way around. Instead of a poor labourer who's scratching to make ends meet, instead, we've got a rich merchant, someone who has clearly got a lot of money, because you don't go out buying fine pearls if you're short of a bob or two, do you? This guy is a jeweller, someone who appreciates the finer things in life. And it's the same situation. He comes across that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to buy this finest of all pearls. And he appreciates the value of it, so he sells everything in order to get this pearl. It's different. Here you've got a rich person giving up everything to get something of great value. Of course, once he bought it, he can't eat it, so I don't know what he's going to do for food. But he appreciates the value of this pearl, and he gives up absolutely everything in order to get it. Both of these parables are talking about the incredible value of the kingdom of heaven. The incredible value of being someone who is in the right relationship with God. Someone who has been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the value of being in the kingdom of heaven is being right with God. And we only understand how that brings perfect happiness and fulfillment when we realise that all the misery in this world is directly or indirectly a consequence of us being rebels against God, running away from God, being in the wrong relationship with Him, and being unrighteous in His sight. When we turn to Jesus, that's undone. We still find ourselves living in a dark and confusing world. We see that in a minute in the parable of the nets. There is still trouble and difficulty in this world, but spiritually, we're right with God. And we look forward to a time when the difficulties of this life will be left behind as we go forward to being with Jesus where He is. We just need to realise that's what the problem is. Imagine it like this. You've got a nice cream wall here up next to the cross. And maybe some of those nice little toddlers out there, they decide to come along and they get hold of some paint. Nice big red white there on the wall. And they look at it and they realise they've done something wrong. So what do they do to make it better? They put their hands in it, smear it around. Or maybe they go, oh, maybe a bit of blue will cover it up. And they keep putting the paint on, and it gets worse and worse and worse, until it's a great big brown muddy mess. That's humans trying to find perfect fulfillment and happiness. When we're running away from God, we just keep doing different things which actually add to the problem. That wall's covered like that. What do you need? Redecoration. That's what you need. You need to have the wall redecorated. And the only one who can redecorate our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we can have our lives redecorated is to enter the kingdom of heaven, to get it back to that nice, clean, pristine wall. That is the most valuable thing in the world, getting back to that state. The question is, do we really, really appreciate it? Do we really appreciate the situation that we find ourselves in? So often when you talk to people about their need of a saviour, they're there and they throw up their hands in the air and say, we don't need charity. We don't need anything free. We'll sort out our own mess. Maybe if we smear the paint around, it'll be all right. That's not the case at all. We need help. We need a saviour. And when we turn to Him, He redecorates our life. And what do we receive? A future in heaven? Yes. But we receive benefits right now. Think about those two parables. When did the labourer, when did the merchants start to get value from the treasure or the pearl? Immediately. Straight away. The spiritual riches that we get through entering the kingdom of heaven, they start straight away. They go on forever, but they start straight away. And there's all sorts of different spiritual riches that we get. This is what so many Christians don't seem to appreciate. They seem to think that once they're in the right relationship with God, they'll just go to sleep. And they'll just go through life, and they'll come along to church, you know, occasionally, once a week. They'll put a little bit of money in the pot, they'll be a member. And that's it. The rest of their lives, well, largely unchanged. Once we realise what the Lord has done for us and the riches that are available today, then we're going to be enthusiastic about Him each and every day. We're going to want to find out more. We're going to want to pray and read our Bibles each day. We're going to want to come along to church meetings. You know, forget going to the football ground or something. Meeting together with God's people should be the highlight of your week. And when you're able to get along to meetings, you should want to come along to them in the week, on Sunday nights, all different times. It's much better than watching TV. It really is. Gathering together to find out more about the kingdom. But we don't seem to appreciate it in the way that we should. It's so easy for this world, with all of its charms, all of its short-term temptations to just pull us away from the riches that we've already inherited. And we find some of that problem being drawn out in our next parable, the parable of the net. And this is another one of those parables which really picks up on Judgment Day, doesn't it? It's a warning here to people who refuse the message. Now, for those of us who are Christians, we go out there and, when we share the gospel, we often feel that we're banging our head against a brick wall. People just don't seem to respond, and maybe we get disillusioned and stop sharing. And we pray, why? Why is it like this? Why can't people see what's going on? Why are we surrounded by all these people who are so spiritually dead? But that's the way that it's going to be until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got this picture of a lake that's full of fish, don't we? And some of the fish are good fish, and some of the fish are bad fish. And the kingdom of heaven is like this net that goes down. And the net is only drawn in when it's full. When the kingdom of heaven is there in its completeness. And remember, the Lord is the only one who can see that. When the kingdom of heaven is there in its completeness, it's going to be drawn in, and all the fish are going to be pulled out, and there's going to be this great separation between the good and the bad. And the bad fish, they're not going to be thrown back in to live happy lives, or if they're a bit small, they're going to be thrown back in so they can reach maturity. No, we see there's that separation, and that is it. Good from bad. But up until that moment, the kingdom of heaven is there in the lake, and the good and the bad are mixing together. This is why Christians should never completely withdraw from the world. It's right that we come together as groups like this, because we need to love and support each other, to teach one another, to give each other a bit of backbone, strengthen each other, to carry each other's burdens. But the idea of retreating into an entirely Christian community, we don't see that in God's word. Instead, we see the good and the bad living side by side, with the good witnessing to the bad. And thanks to the mercy and grace of God, those people who are currently bad fish can become good fish. And each and every one of us knows something about that, because at some point we were all bad fish. That's how we start out. The church is always going to be like sheep in a field, and there's a couple of wolves roaming around as well. The danger is always going to be there. There's always going to be that mix. And as Christians living in this world which is so mixed, it means that we go through more than our fair share of hardship and difficulty. We're still subject to living in this world. Remember, this world has turned away from God. And because this world has turned away from God, God, in his justice, has changed things from what they originally were. So we now find ourselves struggling against hardship and sickness and physical death and difficulties, and people don't treat us right, and things happen and they have consequences which can go right down through our lives and affects people. We live in this world which is not what it should be. But the time is coming when the good will be separated from the bad. So how should we be living in this world today? Well, the final few verses there, which talks about the scribe, the teacher, who brings out old treasures as well as new treasures. There you've got a picture of the person who is a more mature Christian. Old treasures and new treasures, an understanding of God's word, the things that were old and the things that were new. The other week when we were talking about parables, we were talking about how parables unlock mysteries from the Old Testament, from the law, from the prophets, and we see them being fulfilled. Those are the old things, the old treasures. And we all know, don't we, that old treasures have a fascination and a real value. That's why we go to museums, to see old treasures. But also there's the new things that we see in the New Testament, the new relationship that we have with God through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. How we have these hearts that have been circumcised. How we're a new creation. We need the old and the new treasures, both of them together, to get our whole picture of what God is doing. And right now we find ourselves living in a time when we are waiting. The kingdom of heaven, that great net is down, and maybe it's bursting at the seams. While Christianity in Western Europe is on the back foot, around the rest of the world, or so much of the rest of the world, the church is growing and expanding at a phenomenal rate. And if you step back and look through the pages of history, even nations where there is no Christian presence today, in the past have been strongly Christian. Churches around countries around the Middle East and Turkey, there have been churches there in the past where they've been driven out today. We do not know when the net of the kingdom of heaven is going to be drawn back in, but it could be really, really soon. So, what do we do? As Christians today, we need to really appreciate the value of what we've got. The kingdom of heaven, our membership in it, it's not just something we do on a Sunday and that's it. It's something that we are each and every day. And being a member of the kingdom of heaven means that today you do get blessings, but also we live in this mixed world of good and bad. And that means there's going to be friction, there's going to be trouble, because the bad things of this world do not like being shown to be wrong. So when they look at the good, the people in the right relationship with God, there's always going to be trouble to a greater or lesser degree. And as our society moves further away from its Christian heritage, so it will become harder and harder to be a Christian publicly. And I know that many people here who serve in capacities, teachers, NHS, places like that, it's becoming increasingly difficult to openly be a Christian in these situations. But remember what we've already got. We've got that right relationship with God. We've got the riches of his word to look into. We've got a future relationship to look forward to. We know where we are going. So we should be willing to let go of the old things that used to keep us trapped. Think about this world and the things it values. Of what long-term significance are they? Does it matter who wins X Factor? Yet so many people base their lives around TV shows like this, and it's all they talk about. They're just blinded, and Christians fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. We get pulled away by the things of the world instead of focusing upon those things which are eternal and so, so very precious. And this morning, if you're someone who isn't a Christian, the labourer was busy working, digging, uncovering things. The merchant was busy looking, seeking for these pearls. If you seek God, you will find him. His word promises that all who seek him will find him. So keep on digging. Keep on seeking. One thing you can do is start praying and pray that you will find God, that he will reveal himself to you. Spend time looking at his word, mixing with other Christians, asking questions. Now, it is possible to inherit the kingdom of heaven. It is possible to be in that right relationship with God. Difficulties today, yes. But we're looking forward to a time of perfect happiness and perfect fulfillment. It does mean some sacrifices today, but it is more than worth it.